Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. The Kansas Farm Bureau Wheat Committee made a recommendation to the board to increase awareness of the Institute of Digital Ag and Advanced Analytics, also known as ID3A. The Institute focuses on helping agriculture producers better understand the use of digital technologies and analytical methods through learning, research, and outreach. This week, I have Brian McCormick and Ignacio Capiti joining me on Inside Ag to really dive into this institute and learn more about their efforts. Guys, welcome to Inside Ag.
Hey, thanks for the invite, Savannah. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I just want to really dive in and get to know who you guys are and how you're involved with the institute first. So can you guys tell me a little bit more about you and your involvement?
Brian McCormick, professor and department head for entomology at Kansas State University. So yeah, I've been at K-State coming up on 16 years, mostly in field crop integrated pest management. Been a department head for the last 5 years. And then a couple years ago, we just said, hey, there needs to be some coordination around digital agriculture and advanced analytics here at K-State. Why don't we try to lead something with a group of folks from across the university? And I've had a pleasure working with Ignacio on lots of projects before the Institute started. And here we are after the launch in September of 23, still building, figuring out what we're doing, trying to get as many people engaged in the process as we can. And yeah, trying to advance this particular initiative.
Yeah, I mean, something similar on my end. Ignacio Ciampiti, professor, Department of Agronomy, Kansas State University. I have been at K-State for 11 years. Field crops specialist, row crops, mainly corn, soybeans, interacting quite a bit with Kansas Farm Bureau, very relevant in terms of helping us connecting with farmers and also to understand what are the main questions that farmers and the challenges that they have today. So we do appreciate that partnership. I mean, and I value that very much. In my role, we work with farmers every day. Most of our research is quite applied. We have some basic research, but I always try to find ways of motivating students and asking very applied research questions that they have applicability with farmers. And then, as Brian was saying, we start thinking about this idea of the Institute, right? What is unique about the Institute, and we'll discuss more, is about just this idea of being interdisciplinary and having faculty from multiple departments and colleges. And I think that is very unique.
What is the Digital Ag and Advanced Analytics Institute?
Let me give you a high level, and Brian is I think I will have a lot of thinking on complementing this. But when we start forging the vision of the Institute, and we thought about this idea of how to be sustainable in the future, and bringing this concept, of course, I mean, food security, but thinking about the challenge of, I mean, increasing food production in limited land, and thinking about that one of the best potential innovations that is going to come from access to technology, and then helping how farmers are going to be transitioning into technology. So I feel that the Institute is becoming, I mean, an essential component on really moving forward that role concept, I mean, responsibility. You know, we always say that we are very people-centered. We do really care about people. We care about our stakeholders and relationship with industry, public-private partnerships. Mm-hmm. Interdisciplinary, because we think about all the time about how we are connecting ag and putting ag in the middle. So we always make emphasis on this ag in the middle, but we know that we understand that we need to work with many other disciplines, and that's the main most relevant. And then never forget that we are, I mean, land grant university. So thinking about how we are fulfilling and helping to evolve the three missions of the university: research, outreach, and extension. I think that's, you know, overall kind of a high level vision.
I just want to echo what Ignacio said. When we actually had one of our first ideation sessions with folks across campus who are interested in this idea, what was really cool is that we were trying to come up with, you know, what's the definition of digital agriculture and advanced analytics? And probably you could ask anybody that, and some would be like, I'm not really sure, which is part of why we're here today, is to make sure people understand that they're probably doing it in some shape or form. But really the people-centered part is really why I'm still like super excited about this, is that it really does, even though it's an institute on digital ag and advanced analytics, at the end of the day, it's really about people solving problems that they face, not only now, but in the future with some resources that might be limiting. No water is a big issue. What's going to take to really solve some of these bigger problems is to put that ID3A kind of philosophy from a research, extension, engagement, and teaching standpoint in the forefront. We're realizing that we're working with people. That to me is still the exciting piece. And people is anybody that wants to participate in this. And I'm sure we can talk about that more in a bit.
Brian, you just kind of touched on it that you got a lot more people involved than just College of Ag. Like some people might think, can you just kind of talk about the different colleges within Kansas State that are involved in this effort and how each group is making an effort for this institute?
Yeah, so you have two that are from the College of Agriculture, so Ignacio and I. But that's, like you said, it's not just one college. This is multiple colleges. So the board of directors actually has folks from arts and sciences, engineering. Even within that, you've got computer science, stats consulting lab, and then you've got, you know, somebody in the president's office. So all these folks, it's, you know, Susan Metzger, Trevor Heffley, Sean Hutchinson, Pascal Hitzler, AJ Sharda, bioag engineering. All of us have been working on some level on interdisciplinary kinds of projects, whether it's grants or working with farmers, stakeholders. At the end of the day, we also knew that our capacity was much bigger than that team. And so we've, from the very get-go, our kind of commitment is to make sure that anybody that sees himself in this can be represented in some shape or form. And so we've been working on, you know, kind of more of an affiliate status. So like those other faculty that even in, you know, thinking about science fiction writing, like those in, like, what is the future of agriculture really look like? So working with folks in English and writing to say, what can they do to help us maybe understand or put that into words that some might relate to in just a very different context. So to me, like, that's why I say, like, it's not just like anybody can do this. It's no, if you can kind of see your position in agriculture and ask questions about water management, that could include not only our colleges here within K-State, but that might be, you know, working with KU, for example, on some of these key issues that are affecting all Kansans. So to me, it's really more about putting those kinds of titles aside and really like getting our hands dirty with the questions at hand and figuring out how to put solutions that are accessible, sustainable, and can also help grow the future workforce. So that's why it really is, you know, multiple colleges, multiple campuses, could be, you know, multiple universities involved when we're trying to look at these bigger problems.
That's neat that you guys are really bringing in so many different perspectives. Digital ag and AI are two big buzzwords within the ag industry right now. How do you guys see yourself working with digital ag and impacting the greater agriculture industry? And how is AI going to really impact farmers and ranchers in the future?
It's a complex and challenging question. I will give a few examples, and I think that will showcase a little bit where we are trying to move. Brian mentioned this idea of working as a collective team, interdisciplinary approach, and another real case study, if you want to say in some way, by working with companies manufactured from Kansas, and they are basically specifically moving to this challenge, you know, how they can start incorporating AI and sensors and some other complex, you know, equipment and expensive equipment into their machines. And they basically reach out to us with the concept of idea that we are the land-grant university. We look at research. It's more like a co-creation. So we're working together as a team with the company on co-creating, co-elaborating this and trying to reshape the future, no? How do we get into the coming maybe 5 to 10 years to several decades and think about how we start incorporating new sensors in machines that they can help us to take decisions? How do we do it in a way that we know that this is going to be increasing the cost potentially from a sensor standpoint and a machinery standpoint, but how do we make sure that it's helping farmers to take decisions so they can become more sustainable over time? And they probably will be able to increase productivity, reduce input use, I mean, being more environmental friendly and trying to find ways of increasing profits, no? Making sure that we improve job creation in the state, looking at increasing the strengthening partnerships with rural communities. So if you think about holistically, it's a big challenge. But what we decided is a specific case study, we need to start from this specific example, working side by side with the stakeholders, learning together. I mean, the pros and the cons, we know that technology has several benefits. I mean, AI is going to come and it's already revolutionizing. If you look at most of the ChatGPT, just on the language, you know, side, and then if you look at the physical AI too. But we need to understand also basically what would be the limitations. We need to understand when we will see potential benefits on the technology. And I feel that reimagining how the agriculture is going to be in 5, 10, 20 years is a big challenge. And I think that we need to start the process of shifting and thinking about how we are educating, training the next generation of students and scientists. And it's exciting. I mean, also because I think that we are going to see many, many opportunities.
It sounds like you guys have a lot kind of in the forefront and coming up. But what kind of fun technology do you guys have out right now? And like, what are some cool tools that you guys are working on?
I think that Brian can talk a little bit about.
It's all fun, Savannah. What are you talking about? Like every single thing is fun. I don't know. I like to think about, Ignacio's right, like we're working with folks that have problems now. And I think beginning to feel like, you know, digital ag and advanced analytics, that idea seems to be too like forward looking, like not forward, but too much into the future when there are like specific problems that we're dealing with now, like water, different kinds of data formats that don't communicate together. And, you know, Ignacio's right. We're working with those partners to figure out some of those solutions. And, you know, like people are doing digital ag kinds of things right now. At the same time, like in order to advance where we're going to go, we have to think more forward, more way into the future. Trying to work, for example, working on I think it's a fun project with AJ Sharda's team and Dan Flippo and myself, and actually some other folks on a sense and spray system. So sorghum aphid is used to be called sugarcane aphid, came into Kansas in 2015, and no kidding, completely changed sorghum production within a couple of years where farmers are really concerned about growing sorghum because of potential losses associated with one little aphid coming in. But now we're developing computer vision models that can actually see aphids on leaves and tell you not only that they're there, but how many. You know, think back, you know, almost 10 years ago when we were having this problem, could we deploy sensors out there that could almost detect these kinds of issues before we know they're really, really issues? To then, you know, provide some strategies that can then reduce their overall spread or you name it. But like, how do we leverage the technology to solve this problem that could change the industry in the short term? So for me, that's, you know, the ground autonomous vehicle that can actually now implement computer vision model, which can see things in the canopy. And then as it's moving, not only see it, but then spray it only when it has aphids present. So now we start to think about the potential environmental impacts, in this case, beneficial impacts, where you're not spraying insecticides everywhere. You're only spraying insecticides where you're seeing aphids that might be at a harmful level, allowing for natural enemies and other ecosystem services to come in and provide some help. You know, think about sustainability in systems, you know, intensifying production, but all at the same time, making sure you're using tools judiciously, that you only use them when you need them, preserving the technologies to make sure that you have access to them. That's taking a robotics kind of challenge, is like, how do I go between rows? And then a computer vision, like, how do I take sensor data? In this case, it's a camera. And then apply that to the advanced analytics piece, which is, do I see aphids in this? And then we have to train it with thousands of images to say, yes, this is what aphids look like. And then put all that together into one system. That's multiple labs. That's an entomologist and computer scientist, an engineer that all come together. And we have to talk with the row crop production folks like Ignacio and say, is this feasible? What happens when we put this on narrow rows? And so that's why some of these more wicked problems require such an interdisciplinary approach. And that to me is that's exciting, is that we can talk about a project that might be actually a few years down the road where we can implement some robots and a swarm of them to be able to control some aphids. So how we maybe apply that to current sprayers now, like could we put that technology on existing technology to solve some of our problems? So, you know, you've got a team like this that are really working with a real world problems. And then at the same time, working with folks like Ignacio mentioned to say, how do we implement this in systems that are happening right now? And I think that's the exciting piece to all this.
To add very briefly, and Brian, make a case for this, we need to start thinking that the concept of digital agriculture or digital ag, it has a component of the present. It has a big component on helping farmers today. And then helping farmers, and when we talk about technologies, I mean, at least specifically even from my team, every day that what farmers are, when they are choosing the planting day, when they are choosing rotations, when they are choosing any decision, is a technology. I mean, we need to think about it in a different concept too. It's not just that the sensors or the nice equipment or the expensive new machine is technology. Any decision that they take into conservation practices, those are technology. And they are all technological innovation. Connected to one concept that we also work in is data, no? I mean, Brian, talk about a little bit about data. And we think about, okay, farmers need to take decisions. In many times, they need to start taking decisions of what are the best crop or hybrid or variety to use the following season. But they take those decisions right after harvest. And we start developing these digital visualization tools. I mean, things that they are simple for them to use and to play alone with almost no instructions. So they can start getting data more near real time and making sure that they can take decisions at their own time, no? That we want to evolve the way that also we are seeing the delivery of information. And we want to, the delivery of information is to be continuous flow. It doesn't happen one moment of the year when you release a publication. It happens all the time, and it's continuously evolving. And then farmers are taking decisions every day, and we want to make sure that our data is available for them. So, and it's really in a way digestible, in a way that they can use it for taking those decisions.
That's a great point. This sounds like it can really benefit farmers and ranchers to kind of help get ahead of potential issues. I kind of want to switch gears now. The ID3A has three core competencies, which are teaching, research, and engagement. I want to kind of dive into all three of these competencies. First, teaching. Tell me more about this competency. How is it being implemented, and what kind of programs are being created to really teach farmers and ranchers?
I will just jump from the university, and Brian can give the perspective of touching a little bit on the extension engagement. I think on the teaching side, we have two directors, Trevor Heffley from the Department of Statistics and Sean Hutchinson from the Department of Geography and Geospatial Sciences, fully almost dedicated to think and rethink this engagement and this idea of how we can train the new generation of thinkers. And I think that that's what we are thinking, you know, in this discipline on the teaching component. Discussions that we have so far in terms of, I mean, developing new certificates on digital ag or data analytics, or looking at how we can create collaborations with industry to make sure that we can prepare the students that they are ready for the job. Industry is today also looking at different type of set of skills, gaining skills on data analytics or gaining skills on the component of data science specifically, no? They are very relevant. And then the question is how we can start preparing and train people that they don't have those skills, or they are agronomists, or they are entomologists, or they are statisticians. But at the end of the day, we want to start training people that they could be more interdisciplinary. And they have this big component, the kind of a big thinker, big ideas. And that's our main focus, is really looking at how we can reshape that kind of a teaching component at the university level. And then we are very lucky to have directors, I mean, that they are focusing specifically on that. Brian mentioned before, we are doing ideation with faculty across the university and trying to obtain input and feedback, and looking at what are the best approaches to really move ourselves into that direction, because, I mean, we are ready. And I think that we are just navigating specifically how we can put together these kind of applied certificates or relevant education components that they can help us to shape the new generation of thinkers.
Okay, Brian, can you kind of touch on the research side of things? What kind of plans does the university have to involve the development and continuation of the institute? And although you are in the early stages, what kind of plans do you have for continuing research on this?
Yeah, so the research looks will look kind of similar to what most people are used to in terms of, you know, federal grants, maybe some state agency grants to help fund some projects around questions that maybe growers have. I would say, you know, one focus we talk a lot about, and I'll bring engagement in here, is to really look at some of the bigger problems that maybe an industry partner is facing, or like you said, a group of growers that maybe are wheat growers that have specific issues. How do we really align those with research folks that we have? And there might be some that are not in the College of Agriculture because of the problem that our stakeholders bring into us. And so this is where, you know, that engagement piece is that, you know, they didn't realize that they might have 40 different affiliated faculty with the ID3A simply because now we have this institute here to help better partner problems with people that are passionate and have the expertise to be able to solve that. So, you know, we're still looking for grant opportunities to leverage our expertise to solve some problems that are specific not only to Kansas, but the region, waters being one of those. Many of the problems that we tackle don't understand state boundaries. The Ogallala Aquifer, for example, pests that we deal with, they don't understand. I mean, they're just moving through a landscape, or they're underground. There are resources that are available, but we need to kind of have a collaborative effort when we do this. So we're looking at multi-institutional, multi-state types of research projects. But at the end of the day, we also need buy-in from the people that we serve in the state. So that's where those kind of private-public partnerships really matter to making sure that we're competitive for those kinds of funds. We're also addressing problems that really have state impact, you know, not just for, you know, the state economy, making sure that we're a driver in this. We're bringing We're bringing new industries here. We're bringing people into the state that want to help grow agriculture. And so that research and the innovation piece of that is definitely part of it. Access, thinking about the questions, who we partner and engage with, helps us find some relevant questions that could actually help, in this case, maybe grow the economy. We're just looking at those types of questions, maybe just from a different lens, but realizing a lot of other folks that haven't really played in this space, so to speak, really have access to getting them connected to stakeholders in ways that they didn't before. And engagement, I think, you know, we haven't talked about extension, but extension and engagement, you know, definitely connect together. I can still see us doing, you know, we've done crop schools for several years, and that's a great way to bring information to where people are. I don't see that changing. I just see, you know, us being able to have maybe a field day that's bringing in different kinds of technologies that maybe are currently implemented or things that we're thinking about in the future. Part of this, what I've also kind of gathered is like folks just need time and space and help maybe to think about how to engage or how to incorporate some of these technologies in their current operations. Or it's a chance for us not only to showcase technologies, get them excited about it, but also learn about what are the limitations to adoption. Is it access? Is it Wi-Fi? Is it, you know, is it connectivity to networks? It's not always one-way learning, and at least that's my experience in extension and engagement. It has to be two-way for it to be super successful for both parties. So to me, I just envision those kinds of activities just increasing over the coming years. Again, we're a brand new institute, so we're also trying to build a structure around who we are and getting people to kind of know about it and get them engaged and connected. As the institute grows, what we're hoping is that people reach out to us and say, you know what we're really struggling with is you fill in the blank. Is there something you can do to help us with that? And we might say, hey, maybe that's an ideation session with just those stakeholders. Let's go to where they are, try to figure out what the issues might be, and how can we tackle this either as an institution, K-State, or much broader in terms of what our other institutions across the state, what can we leverage from those? Or maybe it's another university from a different state, realizing at the end of the day, it's about connecting expertise. So to me, and Ignacio can add to that if you want, but that's how I think we're maybe just thinking about the Institute, maybe slightly different. It's not just, you know, the group of directors and that's it. We're very interested in kind of building capacity and leadership within other labs that maybe just don't have access to some of these problems and stakeholders.
And the only thing to add is just we want to take the university closer to the farmers and the stakeholders. That's what we are doing. We're trying to shift a little bit the idea of how we are operating. And then we're trying to find these right people, no? I mean, it's not only just the directors. We're trying to find faculty that is willing to engage and is really ready to tackle these issues and making sure that we connect immediately faculty with new stakeholders and they start working on relevant problems, solving real problems, no? And I think that that's also part of the big mission, no? I mean, as we discussed from the beginning of the podcast, people-centered, it's all about people too. I mean, and that's that one of the first missions that we decided to say as a part of the Institute.
You have both really touched on engagement and how you guys want to get your information to other people. You kind of talked more about it on the stakeholder side, but at Kansas Farm Bureau, we're really focused on rural community and rural development. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit more about how you are working with farmers and ranchers in these rural areas to get your technology into those hands?
I mean, we're working on multiple approaches. And I think that, I mean, as you know, we're trying not to apply the same recipe to all the situations. I think that we have very different set of farmers. From the moment that you have farmers that they just are focusing on crops versus the ones that are maybe mixed with livestock and the size of operations. We have farmers that they have very different size of operations that they are potentially more advanced on using technology because of the large size acres versus the ones that they are less advanced. I mean, as we mentioned before, getting us closer to them. One example that we have been working for the last years is on Fligner Innovation Farm. I feel that is an interesting case study that it could be replicated in many parts of the state. Because you have a farmer that is willing and to take risk and thinking about new ideas, thinking on investing time and giving an opportunity to the university to help. And I think that's what it takes. I mean, at the end of the day, we start engaging with that farmer. We start working with many faculty from many colleges at this point working on the same field and testing new technologies. No, I mean, there is a new autonomous irrigation system or a new comparing different new precision technologies. We have now another professor working in our department. He's a precision ag specialist too, and then he's working on planning to test new technologies on irrigation in different fields with the farmer. And we're working side by side. So this is like exchanging emails or phone calls every week. It doesn't happen that we have a week, at least on my side, without having a phone call or more than one phone call, I mean, from farmers or from agronomists, from different Kansas-based companies. And then our main goal is to make sure that we are keeping ourselves relevant for farmers. And again, we don't want to try to apply one recipe to all farmers because it's quite unique. And we really want to try to find and identify opportunities that we are engaging farmers, engaging different associations. Like, I mean, we want to be present and we want to be available and help, I mean, to connect with farmers. And I feel that Kansas Farm Bureau is extremely essential for that too. So, and I think that message was something that we, from the moment that we started this institute, we were providing that message very clearly to everyone, like saying, we want to do things in a kind of a different way. We want to make sure that we are here, we are present. We want to talk to different farmers. I mean, to talk to different, doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter the size of the companies, if they are small or very large. We are open for business and we're open on helping people to come up with ideas, or let's think about ideas together. I mean, that's the beauty about the concept of co-creation, no? I mean, and doing some co-innovation that is happening in both sides. I always say that the best ideas usually are coming from farmers, and what we do is just we shape it, we put it in a fancy words, but at the end of the day, those are the most relevant ideas, and those are the things that they're going to help us to be relevant, they're going to help us to do something that is meaningful, build legacy, which is one of the things that we always talk in the Institute, building legacy and helping people, as we discussed before, being a people-centered institution.
Ignacio, you set me up really well. I'm really interested in this new program, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well. If farmers or ranchers or maybe potential stakeholders want to get more involved in the ID3A, how should they go about that?
So the best way, if you're just curious about and want some information, so ksu.edu/ID3A, again, kind of is our landing page. Email is another one. Becca Dale is our new program manager, and she is amazing. She keeps all 7 board of directors in line and is super responsive. That's probably one of the easiest ways is to literally reach out to us. If you have questions, not really sure where to go, even if you're a service provider, you know, you reach out and see if there are connections that we can help make or initiate. Yeah, like Ignacio said, we really are open for business. That's something where, you know, we at least envision us having some larger kind of ideation town hall work sessions to figure out what are the major challenges. We kind of have some ideas based on our collective experience with farmers and ranchers. Broadband is one of those issues, right? I don't it's one of those that will it ever go away? But we've had some of the bigger service providers reach out and say, hey, we're interested in solving this problem as well. You know, for us it's a matter of like, okay, let's just really sit down and think through what the issues are and how do we best coordinate this to provide access to data. When we're talking about data analytics, you got to have ways to analyze that. You know, the website is a great place to reach out. You can reach out to any one of the board directors. I think we'd be happy to chat with you individually. ID3A@ksu.edu will get you to us as well. Becca does a great job in fielding those questions and getting you connected.
Well, Brian or Ignacio, do you guys have anything else you'd like to add to this conversation today?
I do appreciate having this conversation. I feel that it's relevant. I mean, share the news and also to make sure that everyone understands the way that we are thinking and operating, and we want to engage. We are ready. We want to have Kansas Farm Bureau. We want to have any of the most relevant farming associations in Kansas, I mean, helping us to make sure that they can communicate with us and they can share with us what are those challenges that farmers are having too. I mean, we have an idea, but we want to make sure that we have this open communication approach. I would say let's get ready to do some more co-innovation, because it's going to take us, all of us, working together and then pushing this forward.
And I completely agree. For me personally, I keep going back to, you know, I've been at K-State for 16 years. I really do love this institution. This is about Kansas. And so this is really going back to the people that we serve as a land-grant university, making sure we go back to our mission and do the best we can to make sure that we're providing best practices that are, you know, research-based, but are also meaningful, transformative to make sure that, you know, agriculture in the state of Kansas is not only thriving, but really leading. And I think we have the capacity to do that, not just because of this team, but because we have stakeholders that love purple as well. And so that partnership is there. We're really excited about enhancing that with this institute.
Well, Brian and Ignacio, thank you both so much for joining me here on Inside Ag. We really appreciate all you guys are doing to really help advance agriculture through the Digital Ag and Advanced Analytics Institute. Again, I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.